You excited? You guys look nervous out there. This is exciting. Let's believe. When you pray over leaders like this, there's just be listening for God to speak, again, not only to them, but what's he saying to the church, you know? So let's just be asking God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this faithful couple, Lord, my new friends, and I just thank you, Lord, for the season of life that they're in. And God, you ordained the times and the seasons, and you said to everything, there is a time and a purpose to every season under the heavens, purpose. I just want to speak that word first over the two of you, that these are days of great purpose. That's an interesting word, actually, in the Hebrew. The connotation there is the word purpose is actually a verb form, which means to bend or curve. And there's some bending coming. there's some pressure coming to bend you into more of Christ's mold, more of his shape, more of Christ's likeness, and more capacity. So let it come. Don't resist the bending and don't resist the curves that come. You're not going to go in a straight line necessarily from A to B. There'll be some curves in the road, but God says to everything, there is a time and a purpose behind that, where God is bringing forth his plan, his destiny, shaping some things for your influence. And these are days of greater influence. Lynn, you're going to continue not only to have influence in this house, but there's other churches you're going to begin to have a voice into. There's pastors' wives and leaders' wives that need your wisdom. They need your counsel. They need your experience. And so this is just a time where God says, I'm going to open up opportunities for you to share and speak. And not massive crowds, but influential crowds. People that you can influence with your words and your life. And you're going to have another mini directory added to your phone and to your email list of leaders' wives that are going to become regulars in your correspondence. And you're going to be just giving them little life tips and prayers. You've got a real burden because you know, again, the pressure. You know the weight that you carry as a leader's wife. And sometimes elders' wives are the unsung heroes of the church, where the men kind of get a lot more notoriety and they get more FaceTime, as we could say, but it's what's going on behind the scenes and in the home and the weight that they carry. You know, we all like to celebrate the wins of ministry. We call it, that was a win. People saved, baptized, growing, going. But you know what? There's a weight to ministry that never goes away. Mm-hmm. You walk out of here Sunday afternoon, lock the door, you go home, the weight is still there. Mm-hmm. The weight of ministry just doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you carry it and nobody knows it. And there's a weight that you carry as parents, as grandparents. That weight never goes away. There's weight, there's financial weight that you've been carrying, and it doesn't go away because it's all about being a steward of the goodness of God and his responsibilities. And these are days of shifting responsibilities. Obviously, there's some natural things I know, but I see some spiritual shifting that's going to take place in responsibility. And again, you, Chuck, are going to have more influence. God doesn't want you to be just busy to fill holes. He wants you to divinely follow him into relationships in the future. God's going to open up some new relationships, even other networks that you're going to liaise with and rub shoulders with and work with a peer group. But there's also some, I want to say like recruiting that's going to take place. We're going to recruit some guys that are all alone. There's some young couples planting, leading, fighting, and have no one. And I see you and even Lynn, at times you'll just go and embrace a couple. I just see sometimes you're going to have a whim, just kind of a Holy Spirit moment, like inspired. Let's call that young couple we met and let's invite them out to dinner. Let's just go and bless them. And I just see you guys blessing. Just like, you know, we do as grandparents. Like you said, we just want to bless them, right? You just never show up empty-handed. The kids, they always they just, what do you got for me? You know, and that heart to just bless them. and just say, let's take them out to dinner and just bless them. And, you know, you're just going to find such joy in lifting their spirits and at times praying for them and prophesying over them and encouraging them and exchanging phone numbers and being there for them. And this is this fatherly, motherly capacity that's going to just be spread out. God's going to spread you out into the places he wants you. And some of it will be on the outside looking like, I think this is a waste of time. But you're going to know that God's sending you. Therefore, the equation equals not a waste of time. Okay? But the God factor is going to make it worth his while and worth your while. There's some... I'm going back to this curve. I see some detours coming in God's road plan, and you're not to be in the least way concerned. It's not meant to upset you. It's not meant to delay anything that God has. It's just that God is going to put you on a couple of detours, so you're just going to bump into some God moments, and you're going to run into some people, and you're just going to, it's just a day to really, really abandon yourself to the God that directs your path. I think it's one of your favorite verses, delight yourself in the Lord and he will direct your path. And I think God's saying, I'm going to do a lot of directing because you've done a lot of delighting. You really have learned how to delight yourself in the Lord. And it doesn't mean you don't have trouble and problems and heartaches and disappointments. What it means is you delight in knowing that God is in control and that he truly is going to take care of the ups and the downs of life. And there's even a plan that's going to continue to keep you guys healthy. I just really feel like you're being a little more careful as we all do, we get older. But God said, I'm going to just give you long life and health. And Chuck and I have talked a little bit about, you know, modest working out, modest. We don't overdo it, do we? But Lynn, even for you, I just really want to speak over you health. That I don't know if you've had health concerns in the past, but there's a good, clear path forward for your health and managing your health and being, you know, being wise, of course, but I just feel like God says you've got longer than you think. And sometimes we try to set, you know, the calendar date, you know, or we say, God, I'd like to live to be this long, but God just doesn't do that. He doesn't tip us off, and thank God we never get a prophecy. God's just not that mean to tell us the day, right? But we all know we have a day. And God just says to you, you got longer than you think, and so live it up, Lynn. Live it up. You're going to have some adventures. You need to have some fun trips, too. It's not all just, oh, for ministry. Well, we'll tag on a shopping day on the ministry gig. And, you know, it's like God says sometimes just don't do ministry at all. And just tell Chuck we're going. Just tell him. Yeah. Hey, we need to go away. This guy, he fakes it like he's actually resting. He doesn't rest very well. He's always thinking about the next sermon, the next guy, the next meeting, the next trip. He's always planning. This little white head here is always planning, always planning. And he just needs to take a little of his own medicine and have a nice Sabbath rest. And put that word deep into your heart, brother. Really, I really feel like God says you need to really catch up a little bit on Sabbathing yourself before God. And you're going to find it'll keep you rejuvenated and refreshed for the long haul. And yeah, there's some, there's a couple of key disciples, particularly Chuck. I see some young men that you're going to start taking with you more and regularly. And guess what? You don't have to pay for them. You're going to tell them you raise your money, get some support, put a letter out there, pray, and stir their faith to believe God to supply and to go. And you'll know who they are because they have the gift. They have this apostolic germination in them that you already see, but it's never going to blossom until you get them out there. You're going to have to get them out there and understand the power of sending and releasing. And then you're going to have to put them in awkward, unprepared moments. Like, by the way, you're preaching tonight. What? Yep. You got 2 hours. Go get a message. You're just going to have to just push them. I just feel like, you know, sometimes we coddle young leaders a little too much, and we got to just push them out there. And you can do it, brother. You're the old coach. Just say, you're going to start tonight. What? It's like, yep. Because you see the gift, and you know it's there, but opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. There's quite a bit of change coming to this house. More than you realize. More than will meet the eye. There's going to be a lot of internal shifting that God's going to bring. The winds of change are going to come. Not winds to destroy, but winds to move. And God's going to begin to move bricks around. He's going to put people in different positions and elevate some people and move some people. There's logistical changes that are going to take place. God's going to revamp, reinvent, and refresh even your services. And what God's going to do is, I want to just say it this way, he's going to re-image you as a church in this community. Nothing wrong, it's just that it's a new day. I'm going to go out on a limb too and say, I want to just say, God's even got a name change coming. You're going to, and you know, we all are endeared to names, but God, I really believe, is part of what his sign to the community is, there's going to be a change in your name, and he's going to refresh and reinvent and re-image this house. And I believe there's a whole group of younger couples, young marrieds, and like 20-somethings. And I just feel like God's saying he's going to target that age group to build for the future. You got plenty of gray hair in this body, I can see already in the natural. There's good age and there's good longevity, but God is always building for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be an influx of 20-somethings and early 30-somethings because they're the future. And man, God's just going to so put the light on this place, so to speak. He's going to shine a light here, and it's going to have to do with change, and it's going to get around the community. I know this is a smaller community. People talk, and God's going to just kind of change their thinking about what goes on here. I even see your internet presence is going to go to a whole new level. I even sense where, you know, you're going to be putting more things online. You got to face it, that generation does a lot of life online. And so God's going to up your internet presence. There's going to be some teachings that you're going to put on the internet. And there's going to be even maybe Facebook Live where people are going to get a taste of this church before they ever set foot on the property. They're going to check you out and scope you out and take little samples before they buy the whole enchilada, you know. And then they'll show up and they say, yep, we've been watching. We've been listening. And so-and-so told us about this. And I just think God's saying, it's just going to broadcast, okay, what he is doing here. It's about what he's doing. There's just things you guys do, nobody knows about it. And it's not like it's a secret, they just don't know. And I'm just use a secular term. God's going to market his best product, okay? The Holy Spirit is going to market. You guys have the Holy Spirit here. It hit hard this morning, that the Holy Spirit, I just get this incredible weight of his presence, and people don't know about it. And that's a distinctive God is going to begin to really push. There's a whole generation that missed the charismatic movement. They're in their 20s and 30s now. We were in our 20s and 30s, and we got it. Now they're in their 20s and 30s, and that's just a historical fact to them. It's not an experience anymore. And God says, I'm going to use you two and others of your same generation to begin to trumpet, set a trumpet to your lips and blow the trumpet in Zion that there is a move of the Holy Spirit. The trumpet was often a metaphor for prophecy in the book of Revelation. Jesus spoke like a trumpet. And God's going to trumpet, okay, the power of the Holy Spirit to heal and to regenerate and to really make a difference. And bottom line, to reach the lost. And I really feel like God's just going to really push hard on evangelism from this place. That's going to be front and center. It always is, I know that, but I just really feel like there is a wind of God to prepare for more people to come in. And I really believe there's a target audience, so to speak. There is a target group. And in my spirit, I just keep seeing these 20 and 30-year-olds that it's like you're all in. Whatever it's going to take to get them to show up here. And that's why there's going to be changes. There's just going to be a shifting of the delivery system and a new, fresh reinventing of what God is going to deliver here. And it's just going to be exciting. It's going to be sharp. It's going to be 21st century. It's just going to be attractive, and it's going to get them. And it's going to, boom. God's going to send some more musicians in here. There's a move of worship that's going to go here that is just going to continue to push into what God is doing and saying. It's going to have a prophetic edge to it because the Holy Spirit's here. You can't help but be prophetic when the Holy Spirit shows up. And it's not going to be a weird reinvention of the charismatic movement. It's just going to be a fresh visitation and a fresh impact into the community. And you guys are going to be just cheering. You don't have to set anything up and tear anything down. But what you're going to be doing is praying it and counseling. Praying and counsel. Praying and counsel. And you don't have to rubber stamp anything. It's not like they need your permission. But your approval will be powerful because it will be your faith. You're going to at times say, you know, we can do that. By faith, we can do that. Yep, we can do that. And it's your affirmation of faith. And you know what? There's some rising young leaders that need to know this is a safe place to fail. You know, isn't that great? You guys, there's a lot of grace in the two of you and your leaders. And you know what? These younger couples need to take a risk and try something and know that if they fail, they don't get kicked out and they don't, you know, it's like, go ahead, try it again. You know, just keep at it. And, oh, it's going to be good. The thing is, God's making room in prophecy in your minds right now that's going to get into your hearts. And then when he starts sending the new things in, it won't shock you and you won't resist. You'll be expecting it. Just like I gave my testimony the other night about God put a prophecy into a church about someone from hotels and motels coming in the church. And so 3 months later when I walked in, it wasn't a shock. And people were ready and God had prepared. And so God's preparing the future now. He's changing your concepts and changing your minds and saying, we're now expecting change and we welcome it. And these things are all going to be just kind of affirmed and affirmed and affirmed. And you'll have ideas too. I mean, you guys aren't out of ideas. In fact, you're going to put kind of the finishing touch and you're going to put safety harnesses on some of these leaders so they don't go over the edge, you know. But you're going to push them. And you're going to just offload and push and release. That releasing mechanism I talked about in the apostolic, you're going to find new buttons to push, Chuck, on how to release even more men and women into servanthood and into functionality, not only here, but even in other places. And so just the anointing of releasing is going to grow upon you. And literally, you're going to put some challenges to some young couples. Have you ever thought about planting a church? No. Well, you better start thinking about it. I mean, you're just going to get right in there. Because, brother, your passion for the expansion of the kingdom is going to grow in the days ahead. You're not winding down, brother. God's winding you up because the power to send is going to be released in you and through the two of you to encourage couples that you can do it. We need more churches. We need more church plants. We need more missionaries. God's putting out a clarion call in this hour. We've got the finances, we've just got the window to do it now, and like never before, it's going to happen. So even a few more nations are going to open up to you, brother, where you can, again, equip and bring others to be equipped and expose hearts and minds to the bigger picture of what God's doing in the kingdom. There's sacrifice. Yep. Some sacrifice that, not discomfort, but there's going to be another level of sacrifice. I don't know what that means. I'm just getting the word, and you're going to have to say, okay, God, let us have it. What exactly are you talking about? And he'll tell you. But you'll know it because you already live sacrificially. You understand it. But God is saying, there's another level of sacrifice that's going to produce. The thing about sacrifice is it produces something for the future. Thank you, Lord. You know, I just feel like there's a couple of key people that are going to get behind your vision for the nations. I'm just going to just kind of step out and say there's a couple benefactors that God's going to put in your life that are just going to help fund some of your kingdom initiatives. And you're going to have to seek God on how that's all going to play out. But God just wants to whisper that to you, kind of like, I got this. I got money, Chuck. This is creator of the universe speaking. I own it all. Sometimes we just have to remember, he owns it all. My goodness. I get on these big airplanes and go, oh, yeah, this is my dad's airplane. You know, it's like, this is cool. And he's, you know, God's just going to finance your future. You're not retiring from income, okay? You're not retiring from God's supply. You're stepping into something. You're going forward, and God's going to give not only enough resource for you, but even to fund things in other places. I really believe you're going to have a little bit of an entrepreneurial edge to some projects in other nations. There's some buildings that need to be built that you know are a necessity. It's not a luxury. There's some places, and you're going to be a pioneer in helping kick off some initiatives to get some things built. And I see you just coming back and pitching it, so to speak, to some people that have money. You don't even have to do it in a church service. You're just going to start shoulder tapping some guys that got some chips that are laying around not doing anything with it except playing the stock market and goofing off. So you're going to say, guys, we need some help here. This is a serious situation. We could use your help. And wouldn't you want to do this? And you're just going to lay vision out there, and they're going to take their checkbook out because the Holy Spirit's going to get a hold of them. So he's going to use you, brother. This is not a day to be bashful. This is not a day, really, to be shy. You're not going to be arrogant, but you're going to be confident that God needs this done, and I'm pitching it to you guys. It's just going to go to some guys unashamedly, and God's going to just show you how his favor will work for the kingdom that way. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the longevity that is yet before Lynn and Chuck. Lord, we thank you for their deep footprint that they have here in this house. But God, you're going to start taking their feet to other places and leave their footprints in other houses and put their fingerprints all over young rising leaders to encourage them and how to bring them out of darkness and depression and encourage. I want to go back to this blessing, this other thing about finance. It's almost like you're going to believe God for a special pot of money just to bless other people with, and particularly leaders. I'm talking about just ones that are just struggling, and you're not bailing them out and paying their bills. You're just going to bless their socks off, like I said. And I even feel this weekend thing of going away, Lynn, and not doing ministry. Take a young couple and say, come on, we're going wherever you go. In Carolina, we go to the beach or the mountains, but wherever you want, take somebody, say we're going away for the weekend, and just bless them, and they will be changed. A couple of nice meals, and just take her shopping, and you guys go for a long walk, and by the time they're done, they'll felt like they just spent a weekend in heaven, and they'll be so encouraged, and you're going to find such satisfaction. Wow, I just believe God for that. It's not excess. It's not lavishness. It's generosity. And I think that's going to continue to be a benchmark for this house. As God blesses this couple and they believe God to be generous, not spendthrifts, I'm talking about the generous heart of God is going to get into this community. And God's going to open doors where you're going to bless the community even more than you have. I'm sure you have, but guess what? God's huge heart is pounding over this community. And he wants it to be known how much he loves the people of this community by showing him generosity from the Spirit of God to their home. God's going to touch homes. I get a big question in my heart for you from God. How are you going to get people out of their houses on Sunday mornings? What's your plan? And not just get them to church, get them into a functionality in the body of Christ. How are you going to get them out of their house and into leadership in this church? Now, that's a challenge. But you know what? God is asking you because God's got the answer. So that becomes your inquiry. And that becomes your heart. And then you take that and you just redistribute it to other places. And God's going to get people out of their house. Get them here. Or get them somewhere. They don't have to be here in that This doesn't always have to be Sunday morning. There's going to be strategic home meetings and small groups and gatherings and picnics and barbecues and kids' things and bouncy houses and all kinds of ways and meeting, you know, going to a school and blowing them away with generosity. Just taking on project after project, and as you do, it's going to start leaving the footprint of this house all over the community. And it won't be like, yeah, that's, they're going to say, that's the church that blessed us. Those are the nicest people. They are so generous. They are so kind. And that word is going to create something in this community. Amen. Wow. You're going to need a vacation before your vacation. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Father, we thank you for this couple. Bless them, bless their family, children, grandchildren, and even you're going to see great-grandchildren. You're going to see generations. You're going to see goodness. You're going to see God work, and you're going to enjoy. And you're going to enjoy these latter years of great fruitfulness. And I think you're going to really grab hold of that promise that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former in the days to come. Amen? Amen. 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 There's a basketball team parents right there. Our mission is to raise basketball players and volleyball players. You have kids?
We do.
They tall? Doesn't take a prophet to figure that out. My wife would be recruiting them for sports. That's good. Well, Father, thank you. What's your names?
Mark and Beth.
Mark and Beth? Okay, Father, thank you for Mark and Beth and their family. We bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for their willingness to... God, you guys are both worker bees, we call them. Just roll your sleeves up, get it done. And brother, you're kind of the guy that just says, what's the next need? I'm on it. And the brothers of the house know that if you're involved, it's going to get done. You're a finisher. You finish well. You finish things well. You hate things unfinished. It just gets in your craw. It's like... Well, it's not done yet. That's terrible. I just, you're a little bit critical, but what you are is you're a finisher, and you don't like things undone. You don't like things, you know, like that edge has to be sanded one more time, and this has to be this way. And there's a meticulous side of you. It doesn't come out in everything, but it comes out in projects and things that God puts in your hands. And you're just a get-it-done kind of guy. And there's a... Not only the natural projects you do and things you put your hands to, but there's things you're going to be putting your heart to. There's some other guys that you're going to begin to disciple more intentionally. You're already got a discipleship capacity, but God says this is a year of greater intentionality when it comes to meeting with some guys and really beginning to draw them closer to Jesus. And here's the benefit, brother. You're going to get closer too. You're saying, come on, let's just get closer to Jesus. Guess what? You're going to get closer too. And it's going to be a joyful benefit to your own spiritual walk. And you're going to find some guys getting set free. I mean, getting set free. You're going to take on a couple of tough cases. And these guys are in so much trouble in their soul. And they're so fractured and messed up and twisted. They don't know what to do. You know what they need? They need a safe friend. Start with a safe friend. Brother, you're so safe. Guys, we're just so afraid. You know, we can go hunting and we can go and do macho stuff and, you know, we're around a lot of military people. We are. They can jump out of airplanes. It's like, do you pray with your wife? No. I can't. I'm afraid. You know, these guys are jumping out of airplanes and parachutes and then they're just afraid to open up about the things of God, and you're going to help bust that. You're going to take that macho effect and show them how macho Jesus really is, but how much he loves them. And you're gonna bust the fear factor, if I could say that. You're going to bust the fear factor in men. And it's going to be just like that, just mano y mano. It's going to be, hey, man, this is just between you and me. What's going on? And this is safe. I'm not going to pick up the phone and call your wife. I'm not going to call your boss. I'm going to pray for you. And, man, you're going to create a safe atmosphere for men to open their souls up, because men have a very difficult time doing that. And so, brother, you're the man. You're going to spearhead something that's going to create kind of a movement of freedom for men that's going to help set them free. Because you understand. You understand the intricacy. You understand the temptations. You understand the enemy's tactics. And you've had to do a little studying on that. You've had to look around. You've had to look inside of yourself. You've had to listen to other men and read some stuff. And you're going, yep, it's an epidemic. And these guys need help. And you're the man. God's going to put a mantle on you to do so. You've got leadership. Heck, you got size. You just punch him out. No, I'm kidding. Just say, you're coming with me. I'm just thinking, if he invited me, I'd go. No, seriously, there's an influence that you're going to have with men, and it's going to be a blessing. And you're not just going to be watching from the sidelines, sis. You're going to be praying. You're going to get names of the wives. There's just a family thing that's going to grow out of this and how you're going to help reach families. And I just see you as small group leaders, really having a very effective small group ministry, semesters, you know, 9-10 weeks, and then take a break, and then another 9-10 weeks, and just, you're just going to keep building. You guys are just such builders of people, and servers, and givers, and you just got the whole package. It's almost not fair, but you got it. You got the package. God's just going to fine-tune you and elevate you, and there's more responsibility coming for the both of you in this house, and you're going to be one of the couples that are going to help welcome these younger 20-somethings in. Because there was a time when you guys were in your 20s and early 30s, there was a lot of work God was doing, a lot of struggle, and a lot of, I wish somebody would help us right now. I'm about ready to scream. And God rescued. God helped. You found help in the house. The house of God is the safest place on earth. It doesn't mean going to church. I mean just in the community of the saints. There's strength and life for one another. So sister, there's some moms that you're going to be mothering. You're going to be a mom to moms. There's some young mothers you're going to take under your wing and do some crafty stuff. You have a little bit of craft in your hands, and you've got some domestic wizardry that you can perform. And there's a little bit of an old-fashioned side to you. You like to probably even still do a little canning and a little of this and a little of that, that say, oh, my grandmother used to do that. But there's just some older techniques, if I could say it that way, where it's going to, you're almost going to kind of revitalize and kind of some old tried and true things to do in your kitchen and this and that, that you may even revitalize some old recipes, something like that that's going to really hook some young ladies and are going to go, you know, my grandmother used to do that or something like that. They're going to identify with your leadership. And those are just hooks. God's going to use the domestic and some of the other things just to pull them into relationship and trust. And just like your husband's going to get men to trust in him, you're going to get some young ladies to trust you. And they're going to really call you the mom they never had, or they're going to say, you're like my spiritual mother. And you're going to pour into them like a Titus ministry, teaching them what it really means to love your husband, what it really means, how to raise children, how do I discipline? I mean, there's a lot of fracturedness out there, and you guys are going to help put glue in their fractures. You're going to help put a cast around their brokenness and hold them together until they come into a place of peace and wholeness. They're going to find it in you. So once again, your house is going to be a busy house. It's going to have lots of life and lots of people and lots of... How old are your children? 17. Yeah, I was going to say a lot of teenagers. For a season. And you know what? Teenagers are bait. Just, they're bait. Just hang them out there and use them to gather other teenagers and then get their parents. And then they're just, be crafty and sneaky. And yeah, we're out of it. Have some of your friends over for pizza. And it's going to look like a party. God's going to sweep in, and you're going to have an opening here and an opening there. It's not going to be an all-night prayer meeting. What I'm saying is God is going to give you strategies to get into the hearts of some young people and then into their homes. And I just see you guys opening up. This is going to be a fun time to watch God put new people in your life, and particularly younger couples that really need some help. And you're going to find great delight in that. Great delight. So three children, almost full-grown adults, ready to explode. So I just pray for them. Good things. It's not too late. There's still some things you can put in, but I said it when I was prophesying over Chuck and Lynn about this, give them some space to fail, kind of continuum, and they got some definite ideas. You've got one that's pretty definite about everything. And chip off, is that your, you have a son? Mm-hmm. Yeah, chip off the old block. He's got some good things. Like I said, he's got some meticulous things, and he's got some sloppy things, and he's got a little mix of this and a mix of that. But you know what? He's going to find himself as he's given responsibility. And he's going to take responsibility even when he doesn't want it, and he's going to like it. Once he gets a taste of it, and it's not, he's not going to go on an authority trip. He's not going to be like the rich young ruler. He was all hung up on himself. He was hung up on self-authority and money. You've done a good job in tempering that, but he's still a young guy, and he's got ambition. So there's going to be a tempering, but there's going to be responsibility, and you're going to coach him right into it. And as much as teenagers don't think they need their parents' advice anymore, he's going to come begging for advice. And brother, you're going to just give it to him. You're going to pray for him, and you say, I believe in you, and he's going to get it done. He's got leadership in him. He's just got to get directed in the right thing. But he's also a warrior. he likes to fight in a good way. He's a battler, but you got to get him on the right battlefield. All young men are created for battle. You just got to get him on the right battlefield. And so direct him into the truth of the battle. In fact, some of these very things that you're going to help men that are battling, you're going to coach your own son how to be an effective warrior against the battles that go on inside of every man. And he's going to be victorious, and he's going to help others too. So it's kind of like a father. I just see this thing growing as a father-son venture, not in physicality. It won't be necessarily like he's going to be right at your side, but in spirit. You guys will be talking a lot. You'll be texting. You'll be sharing and praying for each other. And I just really feel like there's a fresh, let's say it this way, there's a stronger, fresh bonding that's going to take place, particularly with your son, that is going to just make his world rock and yours too. It won't be creepy. It's just going to be those, brother, you're a man of few words, but when you say it, they mean something. So when you go, I'm here for you, that is a paragraph to most other people. When it's, I got your back, that's a paragraph. If you need me, call me. That's a paragraph. So you just have these pithy little strong statements that you mean it. That's why I said you're a finisher. You're a completer. You're true to your word. And those qualities, God wants to emanate in others that have never gotten that. I don't know where you got it from. Probably your own family. There's just a good stream of a good gene pool that you came out of hard workers. A little rough and tumble, but you know what? Hard at work. Just something out of your... I just like your heritage was hard-working heritage, and God says that that's going to pay off for his kingdom. And you take the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, when we don't get to choose our parents or our grandparents, but you know what? God brings things down the line that are going to glorify him, because it's all redeemable. It's all redeemable. Sister, are your parents still alive?
My mom is.
Your mom is, yeah. You're carrying her in a big way in your heart, and that's good. We do. You should. But I just really feel like there's just a move of God for your mom. I just really feel you've been praying for something. And it's not just earth-shaking, breaking, you know, breakthrough, miraculous, going to make it on, you know, TBN. But there's just going to be a spiritual touch upon her that's going to give her confidence. I just sense you're worried that she's worried, if I could say it that way. And it's just like you're going to begin to pray for her, and then at times you're going to soothe her. There's something soothing that's going to come from you that's going to touch her and move anxiety away. And we all have anxiety, but the Bible's so good at battling that with God's word. You know, be anxious for nothing, but by everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your heart and mind. Those kinds of promises that you're going to just really go to the throne of God with those promises on behalf of your mother. There's just an interesting window of time as you stand in the gap for your mother that God wants to touch her, and a refreshing of the Lord upon her, okay? So keep it up, amen? Don't grow weary in well-doing. And this is a good couple. You guys are pillars in this house, and you're going to carry more weight and responsibility, and we thank God for you. Amen? Hola, hermano. ¿Cómo está? ¿Bien?
Va a ser en español.
Un poquito. I heard about your accident. You know, there comes a time you just get a little too old to play with those young guys. I've done it too. So, ¿cómo se llama usted?
Carmen.
Carmen y
Manuel.
Manuel. Those are good Irish names now, aren't they?
Spanish.
Okay. Father, thank you for Carmen and Manuel. We bless them. We thank you for them. God, we thank you for just putting them in community that is beyond their expectation. It was beyond what they had envisioned and even dreamed. But God, you have made a new way, and you're still making new ways. Sometimes I see life for people like a road. I saw things for Chuck and Lynn as a road. I saw a detour. And what I see for you is road construction. There's a lot of construction that God is out in front of you. And I just have the sense like you feel like you're on a journey and there's roadworks everywhere. We've all been on those very frustrating interstates where, you know, you see the orange sign, roadworks ahead, one lane, and you just sit there and you go, ugh, this journey's going to just add another hour on my trip. But God is constructing a highway for you. He's actually going to enlarge your capacity, and your journey is going to pick up speed soon. You feel like it's slow, but there's an acceleration that's coming to your journey. And it's not just going to be you running faster. Ha ha, the joke's on you. You can't even run right now. So it's not about the physical running faster. Actually, God has just kind of sidelined you to say, it's got to be me. You know, he just gave a very stern warning to the Galatians in chapter 3. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? You can't. If you started out in the spirit, you can't finish it in the flesh. And God's just reminding the two of you, that which he begun in the spirit was his sovereign work, saving you, you know, changing you. He said, you've got to continue to believe for that same spiritual work in the days ahead. Now, you're hard workers. You're going to do physical things, but you're going to be a man and a woman of, I want to just say, oh, I'm trying to get a right word here, radical obedience. I mean, you're going to radically obey God, and that's going to empower you on your journey. And there's going to be things that God will require. There's going to be some steps you're going to take in reaching people. Brother, I don't know what vocation you have, but there's a vocational shift coming for you. You're going to be able to earn more money. God's going to increase your financial flow. And it's going to take some education and some learning. But God said, I gave you a good brain. You're a learner, and you're smart, and God's going to just shape you into something new for the journey, and it's going to cause acceleration. And you have children?
Yeah.
I just see your children as, wow. Are they bilingual? Yeah. I just sense that that's going to be just a taste of what God has for them. They're going to have the capacity to even pick up other languages, and they're going to have a heart for the nations. And I would just want to say that it's almost like you're raising up some missionaries in your own house. They're going to love the nations. They're going to want to go. And not just to your homeland, wherever that is. There's going to be other places they're going to want to go. And I'm just going to say this. There's going to be times they'll go to Asia. I just see Asia in the future for your children. They're going to be fascinated by like China and things along that Pacific Rim. They're going to be fascinated by Asian culture. And they're going to blend in very well, and they're going to learn, and they're going to be effective. So these are days to really think big and think futuristic, to know that God has a plan for your family. God has a plan not only for your children, but God has a plan for the kingdom that involves you. And you have a huge pastor's heart. You have the heart of a real shepherd that likes to just get right in where people are and empathize. And brother, sometimes you cry. And you shouldn't be ashamed of that. And it's not unmanly that, brother, you're touched like Jesus was with the feeling of their infirmity, what people are feeling. And they're going to just say, wow, I feel loved. And there's some men, some hard men, you're going to soften them up because you're going to really pray so genuinely that you'll at times get emotional as you pray. And they'll say, this guy's not faking it. This is real. This guy really cares. And you're going to really care for some people that feel alone. They feel maybe, you know, like they're a foreigner. And you're going to have a heart for foreigners and a heart for the disenfranchised that people say, yeah, I've lived here all my life, but I still feel like a foreigner. You know, it's like I don't fit in anywhere. God is just going to use the two of you to help people fit in to the kingdom. It's not a brand of church. It's not a particular culture. It is, we're God's people, and we love you. And you're going to show them by your works. You're going to show your faith by your works. Sister, you've got a lot of faith. You're just a faith woman, and you love faith. You love almost the adventure of faith. You love to say, God, what do you want me to believe for? Just say, go ahead, stretch me. You can do anything. You are so certain that your God can do anything, that you love a challenge, and you love to take it to God in prayer, and you love to watch God work. And you've got some big prayer requests. I don't know what kind of home you live in, but there's a home coming for the two of you that you've been believing for and praying for. And God says, I've got it. I've got the keys. God actually owns the house and every other house on the planet, by the way. But God's saying, trust me, I have the keys, and you need to believe. Faith is going to open the door to that house because God's already got the key. He's not locking you out. He's going to let you in. And it's just believe. And see, this is all part of a big testimony that God is going to give the two of you and your family. This is going to be part of, this is the God we serve. It's not get rich and prosper, that type. It's like you can trust God to meet your needs. And it's a big enough home where you can have gatherings, you can have people over, you can shepherd people there, disciple them, and you're going to have a guest room because you're going to have guests spending the night, and you're just going to have some, you're going to have a lot of traffic, but you're traffic people. You like it. You like busyness. You like to eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, it's like you're going to have another party and, you know, more salsa and just pass the chips and come on. It's going to be good. And, you know, everybody else is watching the Super Bowl and you're watching soccer. Why not? You know, whatever, do your thing. Do your cultural thing and invite people in. In fact, there's going to be people that are not of your culture that want to come to your house. Amen. They're going to come hang out and because you guys are full of hospitality and generosity and love. Here's the other thing. You guys are quick to pray for people. Always be quick to pray. You know, a lot of times people say, yeah, okay, well, we'll pray for you, and then they forget they even said that, let alone they don't pray. But you know what? When someone says, will you pray for me? You go, yep, right now. Let's pray right now. And man, people are just going to grab that and go, wow. Most people say, yeah, I'll put you on my list, or when I get home, or you're not going to be that way. Instant in season and out of season. And brother, there's a prophetic gift that's going to grow in you. You're not just going to be a shepherd that teaches people the Word of God or makes disciples with just your Bible open. There's going to be times the Bible gets closed and the Spirit of God will give you words for people. And it's going to come upon you. Father, right now, just stir up the prophetic gift in this one. In fact, both of you, why not? Yeah, Father, just stir it. That's what Paul told Timothy to do. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. It was given by prophecy and the laying on of hands. So we stir it up. We thank you for the stirring of the prophetic Christ in each one of these. That's why you're connected to these people here. Because they got the fullness of Christ, okay? All facets of Christ operate apostolically, prophetically, shepherd, teacher, evangelism. It's all here. And you're going to grow. God's going to keep mentoring you. There's some new things you're going to learn about ministry and life and people. And you've got some great leaders here to model after and ask. Just ask. Brother, you can be a little bit shy sometimes, as men are. We don't like to ask. We don't like to ask for directions. We don't like to do anything like that. But ask. Brother, be inquisitive. Ask. And God is going to supply you with rich wisdom for the future and how to build your family and how to build the church. Amen? Amen. That thing's got snow tires. That is so cool. Gracias. Dios te bendiga. Gracias. Bless you. Awesome. Come on down. Tell me your name again. It's Jack?
Jim.
I got the J. Hi, Jim.
And
D. Hi, Jim. Hi, D. Have a seat. Y'all breathing out there?
Yep.
It's pretty quiet. Let's have a cheer. Cheer. Woo! For Jim and D. Woo-hoo! Two of God's favorites.
Woo!
Two of God's favorites. Along with the rest of all of his favorites that are here today. Right? Yeah, but yeah, God's favorites. God favors you. And God is a redeemer. You know, God's heart of redemption is so big. We miss it often, but everything God does has redemption behind it. God's motivated. You know, even the death of his own son was motivated by the redemption of all of us in this room and the millions and millions and millions that have gone before us. God is a redeemer. And God is redeeming things constantly. And there's things that have happened to both of you that you look back on and say, you know, well, if I could go back and change time, well, none of us can. Wouldn't that be great? But we can't. But sometimes you linger back there in your thoughts, and it leads to a little bit of remorse and regret. And God doesn't want that for you. There's no instruction in the Bible that tells us that's what we're supposed to do with our past, is regret it and fret and wish we could change and all that. That's the enemy. The enemy comes to try to remind us always of our pre-Christ goof-ups or even our Christian goof-ups, and that's his ministry. I mean, you can't blame him. If the one thing the devil does, he's consistent with his ministry, and it's the ministry of accusation. He's called the accuser of the brethren. That's one of his titles. And so God just wants to come and remind the two of you, there's nothing to accuse. There's nothing to look back on and say, I'm so regretful. You know what? God's a redeemer. God redeems mistakes, and God redeems the actions of our flesh, and God's such a redeemer. Just, we get to heaven, we're going to go, hey, let Moses tell me all about that murder. You know, it's like, we're not going to have that go around and everybody share all their goof-ups, you know. It's going to be so different, and God wants you to have a taste of that, to understand he's redeeming everything. Everything. Relationships. Even, do you have children? Yeah, there's some redemptive acts going on right now with your children. God's redeeming some beautiful things. You don't see it yet, but he's redeeming. And you got to trust him for that. And God's the master of the rescue, you know. And the thing that we don't get is God's timing. We always question God's timing. But we have to trust him for the timing as well as the act. You know, I've been, myself, I've said, well, God, boy, you just made it on that one. Whew, you know, 5 more minutes or 10, one more day, and whoo. And it's like, God chuckles. We're just like little kids, you know. You go, oh, bless your little ignorant heart. You know, you have no idea what I orchestrated to make it happen at this precise moment. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't shame us and scold us. He's like, yeah, I was right on time, wasn't I? And God's right on time. He's going to be right on time for your family. And you've got some prayer fuel that you never had before. Your prayer engine is running well. There was a time you didn't even have a prayer engine. It was just kind of like a desperation cry sometimes. But God has tuned up your prayer engine, and it's running well. And he's fueling you. And these people here, there's people here that help fuel your prayer life. And there's people that join you in your prayer life. And you're just seeing more done. You know, I love the scripture says, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. There's a exponential power when we agree in prayer. And that's going to continue on. And you're going to see it, not only for your own family, but for others. There's a couple of projects with skin on them that are coming into this house. And they're going to end up in your lap. And they are not going to be pretty on the outside. They're going to be a little rough and rugged like you, Jim. You're going to love them. You're going to say, yeah, just like you, you know. You're just going to identify with this guy that's just, and you know, you're just going to so love him. And you're going to so understand him, and he's going to feel right at home, and he is just never going to leave you. He's just going to say, you're my best friend, and you're the dad I never had, man, I sure, because you're going to understand, and you're going to have compassion, and you're going to love him where he's at, not judge him, but love him, and you're going to just begin to lift him up. See, redemption. Your cry will be, God, redeem this guy. Redeem every ugly thing in his past and make it shine, and it will. And brother, you're going to be shining up some things that look kind of dirty and rusty on the outside, but there's gold on the inside. You're going to see the gold on the inside, and you're going to keep reaching for it and keep pulling it out, and you're going to see it. Now, in doing all this, there's going to be an equipping that's going to go on in your life. You're going to get some counsel. You're going to actually grab a book and kind of read through some stuff and watch a video and say, okay, yep, that's next time we meet, I'm going to do this. You're going to be one step ahead of him. You don't have to figure it all out, but you're going to understand his problem, and you're going to say, you know what, I read a book about that, or I read something on that, or and you're going to just deliver. At times you'll feel like the student, but you'll really be the teacher. But the master teacher will teach you so much. These are going to be fun days. You guys are... You're just like young students at heart. There's such a youthfulness about your hunger. Stay hungry for God. There's so much God is still going to input to you that you can give to others. And, you know, Dee, there's just some regular gatherings that you're a part of that you make it what it is. When you show up, they're like, oh, good. Oh, good, she's here. There's just a joy you bring, and I think you kind of usually bring something good, something, a snack or a goodies or something. You have a goodie cupboard that is the envy of a lot of people, and it's just like, I hope she brings those again, and you do, and you light up the place with the goodies, but it's also your heart, and again, your positive outlook. See, again, you've been delivered from the shame and the guilt. And you know what? You just say, you know what? God's a good God, and I'm going forward. Yeah. And that's just what people need to hear. Because the world has nothing good to offer, you know? The world just says, you got to try harder. You know what? Don't try harder. Enjoy God more. Yeah. Don't try harder. There's not enough hardness to try. Enjoy God. Enjoy Him. That's the chief purpose of man, right? To glorify God and enjoy Him. And you know what? There's too many sourpusses in churches. I go to churches all year long, different churches. I swear they baptize people in vinegar before they put them on the worship team. Get up and lead worship, and don't you dare crack a smile. This is serious. I like to go to church and have fun. I think God likes to have fun. God likes to have a laugh. God's got a sense of humor. And you know what? These guys just need to enjoy God now for who He is now and who He's going to be. And this is just that friendly reminder one more time. Paul said it best, forgetting those things that are behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. You have prizes ahead of you in skin. They're going to have skin on them. Prizes, precious prizes that you're going to pour into. And this is going to trickle down into your family. Testimonies of what God does through you in this place and with other people is going to leak down into your family, and it's going to be something that catches their attention and moves the redemptive acts of God closer and closer to their finality. Amen? Amen. A couple of great redemption. Amen? Wow. Back to the Future. I haven't seen one of those in ages. Can I touch it?
Go right ahead.
Oh my gosh. It's wireless, too. I'm laughing, but you know what? I've got one. I've still got a Walkman. Because I have prophecies from the 80s and 90s. On cassette tape, so I'm not mocking. I'm just thinking, this was the deal back in the day. Where's anybody under 20 in here? If you're good after this meeting, she'll let you see what this is, and she'll explain to you what it is. You have no idea. How many still have a shoebox or two full of? Never mind. Just threw them out. Okay, we are on the air. Tell me your name.
Mary.
Okay. Father, thank you for Mary. We bless her today. God, we thank you, Lord, for your heritage. Something about your heritage is very passionate and endearing to you. You identify with your heritage. You're proud of your heritage. You go back and you look at the price that some of your grandparents and others paid to get to where you are and what they paid even in their generation. And you're a very, I just feel such a deep gratitude in you and appreciation for who you are and where you've come from. And what even seems to be sometimes a mystery about your past, there's enough there that you say, you know what, I'm grateful. I wouldn't be here today. There's a bit of a historian in you. I think you like history. I think you like things that add value as they age. And I think you're a bit of a collector of fine things. There's just some fine things, not so much like a cassette tape player, but I mean, I think there's some things that you cherish because there's value, even though it may not have a lot of money value, it's got personal value to you. And there is a worth that you bring to the table. There's a way that you can make someone feel of greater value when they don't think there's much value at all. And part of that just is really helping people identify who they are in Christ, because it's the greatest value that we all have, right? We all have that in common. However, there are many that take a long time understanding their identity in Christ. It's a great question that we all have. At one point or another, we all have this question, who am I? Really, who am I? And there's only one person that can answer that. It's not a spouse, not a child. It's God. God knows you better than anybody. He knows you better than you know yourself. And that's why times like this is a time where God begins to reveal himself through words, through promises. God likes to rehearse history, and God likes to talk about the future. And this is all part of God identifying the true value of a human. And you're good at that, Mary. You're going to be helping people identify who they are in Christ, who they are in the family of God, who they are in his eyes. And here's the other thing. You're going to give them a beautiful picture of eternity. We don't talk about eternity enough. We just think, well, I'm going to go to heaven when I die, period. That's it. Let's just get on. You know, what's for dinner? It's like, whoa, wait a minute. I believe you have a hunger to grasp, I just want to say it, like a vision or what the Bible teaches about what's ahead. And I see you particularly ministering to people, I'm just going to say it, that are in their latter days. And I think you have words of hope. I'm going to say it the way I'm really seeing, you're going to be visiting shut-ins and some elderly people that can't get out. They're either, you know, they're bedridden or something. They may be in their last weeks or months. And God's going to stir your heart to go and give hope. I just believe it's like a ministry God's going to open up in a beautiful way where you're going to just really help people cross over. You're going to give people hope that have no hope. Maybe they even grew up in church, but they're still not sure. Man, there's some good evangelism there. You got a captive audience. They can't run away. You know, it's going to be good. It's like, hey, just sit there. I'm going to tell you about Jesus, you know. But you know what? They want to hear. The thing of it is, they want to know. I just think it's going to be awesome. Wow, I just see you leading people to Christ. Amen. At the end. And like I said, God doesn't make mistakes, and God's never late. He's rarely early, but he's never late. And you're going to be right there. God knows who's laying around even in this city, and the only thing they have on their mind is, when am I going to die? It sounds morbid, but guess what? We're all going to be there someday, and you're going to be showing up, Mary, with joy and hope, with the gospel. Wow. I'm just sitting here in awe of the privilege I'm sensing from God. This assignment is not just, well, nobody else is going to go. I guess we'll send Mary. This is like, whoa, this is big to God, because there's prayers going up from some desperate people, and only God is hearing those prayers right now. But God wants to answer those prayers, and he answers them through us. And my goodness, I feel God's heart right now. Whew, compassion, that's a powerful word. Every time Jesus, it says in the Bible, when he was moved with compassion, he did a miracle. And we all know the greatest miracle is salvation, somebody getting born again. And I believe the compassion of God is going to come upon you, and you're going to see the miracle of new birth over and over and over. And God's going to show you how to do this. I don't have the plan, but God's telling you the concept. And you're going to get connected. You're going to get favor. And you're going to come in with some little things. And people are going to say, oh, here she comes. Oh, she's got her stuff. And I just see you just don't walk in empty-handed like, hi, I'm a great evangelist. Let's have a meeting. It's like, I've come to pray for Mrs. So-and-so. Or I've just come to visit. And then you slip the prayer in. You know, it's like there's all kinds of ways. So this is it's going to start as a solo act, Mary, but guess what? People are going to hear about it. They're going to get interested, and they're going to say, can I come with you? Can I come with you? And suddenly you start have a little band of Mary's men. I don't know, Mary's men and women. A little Mary's little band is going to come and be ministering, and this thing could really take off. And you talk about reaching your community. Just think for a moment. How many, possibly hundreds of people right now don't know Jesus and have nobody? It's like the guy that laid at the pool of Bethesda. He says, I've been here 38 years, and I'd like to get in the pool, but I have no man. I have no one. And there's people that have been sick, infirmed, and waiting to die, and they'd love to get in the pool, but they don't have a Mary. And God's going to send you. See, that's the power to send. We think missions and apostolic, this is it. This is pure as it gets. Being sent from this house with apostolic power, with the proclamation of the gospel to a lost and dying world, which happens to be in a nursing home or a hospital or somewhere, and maybe just a shut-in in a house. And no one. But we got Mary. Hallelujah. We got Mary. Father, thank you. You know, Mary, I just want to say that I don't know if you ever had this when you were younger. That you have you been to any foreign countries?
I've never been to a foreign country.
I feel, though, I'm not just saying this from God, that you've had that desire. That there's you kind of at times thought you could be a missionary. Say, I'm just going to go and do it all, sell it all, go. But that never really manifested. But, you know, God's going to fulfill your dream, okay? And it's going to start with this. There's something missional about this. And you don't need a passport to go to some of these places. But I also want to say this. I really believe you're going to get to go on a foreign mission trip someday. And it's going to be sooner than you think. And I'm just going to say, sometime this year, if I were you, I would go get your passport. Just get ready. As a step of faith, say, God, I'm going to get my passport. And then you'll open the door. And what's going to happen is this thing that you're going to start doing locally is going to be translocal. You're going to share what's going on, and someone else is going to catch your vision. And you go, why don't we do that? Let's do what Mary's doing. What she's doing in Columbiana, we could do it here. And boom, it's going to grow. This is a big deal to God. This is really a big deal. And it's got seeds. You're full of seed, Mary. And the sower sows the word. You just go sow, and God's going to bring a harvest. Amen? Amen. Oh. I'll do a few more. I'm getting a little. It's been good. It's been different, hasn't it? You know what I'd really like to do? I'll call out a few and then just I'll do something else. I want to do this. Can I? I have the microphone. I can do whatever I want. No, I'm kidding. I'm not quite there prophetically. I just want to take a break. But I do want to do something for just a couple minutes. I'd like some feedback. And the reason we're doing this more and more, a lot, especially when we have a smaller group, we can do it and we can't do it in big. But there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, it inspires other people to hear. Just one thing that God said to you, those that have been prophesied over, that was just either a confirmation or like, wow, and just something that encouraged. So it encourages me, of course, but it encourages one another. And you get to hear the impact of a word on somebody that you had no idea. And I know you all know each other, but I've been amazed over the years of things that God says to people, and even people in their own church had no idea until they share. They go, oh, yeah, that was this. So can we take a couple minutes and do that? Who would like to just share? And just share one or two things. Bill. That's awesome. Isn't that good to know, that little secret thing? Amen. It's going to keep you going too, isn't it?
They didn't hear back there about prayer time.
Tell him. His prayer time. Yeah. Yeah, good. Do you have my help? We'll do this. Is this okay to do for a few minutes? I find this can be very inspiring at the end of a meeting when we're all a little tired. It's kind of like, yeah, but let's celebrate a couple wins. So, someone else, come on, just say something that. Fresh, hot off the press.
I didn't want to say this, but you hit a nail on the head. Someone told me that I did have a ministry with elderly people. So that was a nail on the head.
That's awesome. God loves that. Isn't that good? That's so inspiring.
Everything you prophesied over us was very encouraging to me, but one thing in particular was I've really given up hope for my kids and having spouses and children, and I've spoken a lot of negative things about that, and you said there are spouses and children for your children, and like that's just like awesome.
That's awesome. Those deep desires, we all have them. But when God just says something like that to reaffirm, because I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and sometimes you go, hello? Really, we all have that syndrome, but when God just drops that little assurance, man,
amen.
That's a
amen.
Word.
This
that's great. Thanks for sharing
that. I'd like
to
ask a question. You didn't know this, Clem, obviously, but Beth, you prayed about her and her mother. This is her mother.
Hey.
So, Seal, what did you think whenever he shared that?
Well, I just got word this morning that my mom fell. She lives in Montana, and she's in the emergency room, and they put her in the hospital. So I'm very, very upset. I'm very worried. And then you gave Beth that word about, because I was crying with Beth, and that was like a word for me.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you. That was like right on.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I had no idea you were here, you know, who you
obviously.
Were. And isn't God good that he feels that and brings it in his special way? And, you know, that's got to be ministering to you. Because, in other words, God says, I know that she's worried, so let's get to her. God can do anything.
Amen. It's good.
Be at peace.
It's good.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow.
You know, one thing that Clem, and you wouldn't have known this, obviously, I didn't share this with you, but part of my focus and priority is for Harvest Prep and for here, our strategy here is seeing the next generation raised up. I realize that with Harvest Prep, we need to share with younger, and that's been a prayer of mine. I've shared that with our leadership, a prayer that the Lord would raise up the next generation of leaders to take over what he's doing. And so it was right.
Amen.
On.
Boy, right we on. Need that. That's good.
The statement that you made about unpacking your fantasy suitcases was very right on. My husband has had the desire to move, and I have felt that we are called to stay. And so that was just confirmation for my heart and for him, peace.
Amen.
To be able to stay.
You know, guys, we don't stand a chance. When God teams up with our wives, it's just, forget it. It's not mm-hmm. fair. That's really great, though.
Yeah. Amen. That's good. Awesome. Oh, Millie.
I just want to praise God for his assurance. I was sharing with Miss Lane as we were having coffee out there. You mentioned grace with us, and we both come from divorces. And the day we got married, I remember inviting this our brother-in-law for our wedding, and I told him, I don't know what people preaches in a second wedding, you know, but I'm hoping that God will reveal to you what we need and just pray something that would be encouraging. And we wanted to make our wedding an opportunity for people to see how God heals brokenness and how God brings together, you know, pieces to make a whole. And his preaching was grace, how grace does that. And we had a really nice experience during our wedding with that, because our brother-in-law too, he cried at the end of the preaching, and I asked him later on, what was that move your heart then? And he said, you just wouldn't know that, but this is the first time I have been invited to preach after I have been broken and feeling unworthy. He used to be a pastor before. Wow. And just was, I was sharing grace with people as God was sharing his grace on me. And it was just assurance that God can still use you in the midst of our brokenness and our different backgrounds and our past. And sometimes we lose perspective, but we're so, so thankful that God's grace is upon us.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
That's a word that the church needs to allow to grow. You know, some of the church doesn't know this, but Millie was terribly abused by her church when she had to be divorced. And it wasn't her idea, she didn't want it, but the church abused her. She came to us broken. We said, Millie, there's great life and gifts and talents that you have that the church needs.
Yeah. Amen.
And so we're glad you're here, William and Millie. Amen. Amen. One more. Well, good, do two then, because Kirk has one. Go ahead, Jim.
Your word for Mark and talking about his sons and stuff, that relation with your sons, touched me, and I need... relationship rebuilt with my two sons. Not that it's really broken, but it really, what you spoke to him spoke to me. You know, thank you for that. That definitely was for me. So.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to mention that the word you spoke to Willie, Bill, William, about the grace for sure, but you also mentioned that he has the heart of a shepherd, and I've seen that, and I've told you that. I think it's true, and whatever the Lord has for you in the future, I think that's part of it.
Amen. And Clem, obviously, I'm sure you've surmised, Manuel and Carmen, you know, pastor of the work. William and Millie have been there from the foundation, actually before Manuel and Carmen came. And they're the key heart of it. You'll minister later on to another brother who is a part of that. And it really bore witness with my spirit when you mentioned for Manuel that he had a prophetic gift in him and that needed to be nurtured, because he's a very gifted, compassionate man. And that's exciting to hear, because it goes along with the apostolic call, because Manuel has an apostolic call on his life. He isn't going to just be a pastor in Salem. He has an apostolic call on his life, and the Lord is unfolding that. So, amen? Okay. I think Carmen wants to say something here.
I'm not good at speaking, I'm sorry. One thing that I have always asked to the Lord is for my girls to know me as a woman of prayer. And what you said, that just moved, because I'm always trying to intentionally let that lesson on their lives. And a prayer request that I have always asked the Lord is for him to let me know that my girls will always love him and want to serve him, and for me to let me be a good role model for them. So what you said, that really moved my heart as a mom. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to close with this. Mike, if you would come. Mike has a prophetic word for you, Clem. And so as he comes to bring that, I'd like Bruce and Greg to come and to stand with that.
get Mary's older. Yeah.
You would have had a fresh tape.
Okay. And it was confirming to me, you know, so much of what he spoke is things that God has been speaking to me and confirming to me. So I just appreciate that. Okay? All right. The Lord showed me everything you're doing has been foundational in your life. It's been a foundation builder. Once again, we have to realize the foundation God lays in it is the house that he's building, is depending. And since you've been a world house, you're not a house that's just local, you're not just regional, you're a world house. And what the Lord showed me is that you're very personal. You love this personal time. But he said, this is going to change. Because even where you're at with all your churches, there's change going on. In fact, there's some drastic changes that are going to be coming. And what they're going to need is more of your strategy that God's pouring into your spirit, more of your leadership. And you're going to have to separate the personal somewhat from being the leader, because the leaders are going to need you to be personal instead of you going to all the people like you have and you enjoy. But what God told me to encourage you is that all that you've been training are going to be out there doing the personal work. So in your desire to go back out and to be there and to have that, that's not the time now. It's going to be hard for a season because there's a lot of disruption. And there's going to be some more because there's going to be some quick changes that are happening. And people are going to be going, they're going to need leadership when that happens. And the leaders need a leader. And that's where they're going to rely on your consistency that you've had, not only in their personal life, because some of them have been raised up by you in the prophetic aspect, and that you've come along the great rooting of their life. So they trust the fruit on your tree. So when you come and give them a word, they'll trust it. And that's really what's going to be needed for a season, is this trust factor that you have established, that God's, that's why God's made you this foundational consistency. And then what's going to happen, though, and take heart in this, that after your hard work, and it's going to be hard for a season, because it's going to take you away from that which you love to do versus what you get to do. It's like Jesus. As much as he loved us, the cross was hard. But it's something he got to do so that he could see people, more people free. And that's what this is all about. It's the same type of work. It's a laying down of your life, what you love to do, so that you get to do, because others are going to come out of this. It's going to survive, and it's going to produce more. And what's going to happen, you're then going to take that truths that you're learning, and you're going to be able to spread it then, and you're going to become more of a strategic leader than a personal leader, even though you're going to give personal words, but there'll be more to strategic people, even corporations. See, corporations, people are going to watch what's happening here because they're going to see this disruption. Leaders are going to see this disruption because they need help. Okay, they need help. They just don't know always where to turn to. But God's going to lift you up, and you're going to even be able to speak. And as a result, they're going to come behind projects that you're going to do in the future, your group that will do. And when you need something, you're going to be able to go to their tree and pick the fruit. And then that's going to provide for what you have need. But you'll strategically do it. Not just, you know, there's going to be personal, but it's going to be strategic. Always ask yourself from this time forward, Lord, what's the strategy of me getting involved with these people? Not just that I want to get involved because it's his heart, which you've carried so well, okay? But now it's a strategic work that because many are out there. They might seem strong on the outward, but inward they're needing that stability, that time of you giving, come alongside and say, what strategies are we doing? What do we need to do here? And I believe the people out there that are taking care of the purple, your children. Lord, show me your children were out there They were standing all around you, in a sense. Everywhere you looked, you saw them ministering. What you've been doing, they're going to do. That frees you to go do what you're doing here, what I'm talking about. And then it'll be, like I say, it'll have a greater impact than what you can possibly even understand right now, I believe, any of us, because the fruit that God's going to bear from this thing. But it's going to be hard for a season. So in that plow, when you're seeing all that fun out there, and you're plowing, remind yourself, this has purpose. This is going to bear great fruit. And your wife, obviously, is a strong support. And let her speak to you. Let her speak to you. Okay? And you tell her I said this. Let her speak to you. And don't be quick to hear and slow to act on that word, because she's going to have some real words for you in those times where your plow seems like you want to, you know, you feel like chucking it, okay? But it will bear great fruit, but there's going to be, and like I say, there's going to be some things that are going to happen quickly even and change. Nobody's going to see it come. It's just going to be, all of a sudden it's going to be there, and they're going to need that leadership, that strategic, calming leadership, more than even the personal word, that will come in and stabilize and help bring about a greater continuity and a witness, like I said, to the world that will draw even greater work and purpose for the work and purpose that God has. Amen?
Amen. Do you have anything, Bruce? Lenny, do you have anything? The one thing that I want to confirm, Clem, before Mike started talking about fruit, mine's very simple picture, but before Mike started talking about fruit, I kept seeing this apple tree, and it was a gorgeous apple tree. The fruit was gorgeous. The tree was very well formed. It was pleasing to look at, and it was very fruitful. The Lord said, that's you. That's the fruit of your life. And then he expanded and showed me trees just like it all over, which is the orchard of those that you have discipled. And I feel like the Lord is saying that he's going to accelerate some of that in the future. Not, you're already discipling, but your discipling process is going to accelerate, so it's not going to be draining on you. And yet it is going to multiply the ministry that you have been so faithful to sow in, and the fruit that it's borne, it's going to bear much fruit. Amen. Amen. Great. Amen.
This great thing is just the transitional shift will definitely be oiled by the Holy Spirit. Good. It will come easy. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's just bless that word. Yes, honey.
Just as Beth said that right prior to that, I had seen a boat that has a sail. A sail ship.
A sailboat.
But I had seen a sailboat, and the mast was just flat. And I just felt the Lord saying that the mast of your sailboat is not flat, because it's the Holy Spirit that blows. It's the wind that blows that sail, that he's the one that takes you where he wants you to go.
Amen. 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 Just stretch your hands toward Clem. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this man of God. We thank you, Father, for the fruit of his life, Lord. He has honored you, Lord, and exalted you in every way. And Father, we pray, Lord, that in the kingdom, Lord, it's not always addition. In fact, the best way is multiplication, Lord. And so we just pray that in the days ahead, even as Mike prophesied, that there'll be strategies that he needs to embrace in the future and apply, that you would give him divine strategy, you would give him divine direction, and you would give him divine anointing, Lord, that would bring forth, Lord, the things that you have spoken over him. Lord, we just thank you for the fruit of his life. We thank you that long after you call him home, that his ministry is going to continue as he has imparted himself to others, and not really imparted himself, he has imparted your nature, your heart, your humility, and the wonders of your servanthood to those that he has mentored and discipled, Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you for that, for your glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, you're released. We'll be back at 5 o'clock and have an early evening, and we'll see you then.